week, he was in a panic. It was about 9:30 in the morning, and I said, hey, is everything okay? He said, no, I just got news that my aunt, who has stage 4 cancer, she just got put on life support, and I'm trying to figure out if I'm supposed to go to Pennsylvania. You know, my mom called me in a panic, trying to figure out if I'm supposed to go to Pennsylvania to say goodbye. The doctor's saying most likely she's not going to make it till then. So fast forward to today, and that was like last Thursday or Friday. I said, well, I'm definitely going to be praying for her, you know, knowing what God did for Noah earlier this year. I'm putting my shoes on as I'm leaving work, and he said, hey, can I show you something? I said, yeah. He showed me a cell phone, and he said, I want you to read this. And it was a text message from his mom who said, long story short, the aunt who wasn't supposed to make it, who was on life support, who was on a feeding tube and a ventilator and all these things to keep her alive, opened her eyes today and is moving around. So God is amazing. God is amazing. Yeah, that's worthy. God's worthy of praise. And I'll tell you what, the older I get, the more I walk with God, the more I want to be used by Him. Pastor Jimmy preached a message on Sunday about Jonah going to Nineveh and kind of running away from the call that God had in his life. And though he did it through a series of twisting, God twisting his arm and really putting him up against it, Jonah did it. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be reluctant to do what God's asked me to do. I don't want to be scared or worried or upset about when God calls me to do something and asks me to do something and uses me to do what He wants me to do, what I was designed to do, what I was created to do, and that's serve an Almighty God. And I don't want to be upset about that. As I was thinking about some of the characters in the Bible that God uses, I think about Moses as he went to free his people from Egypt. I think about Peter and Paul and Joshua and Esther and all these people that God used. And they were willing to do it. And then I think about myself and the things that God is asking of me. I think, wow, I'm nobody. I've never been anybody. But God sees something in me that He says, I want to use you for this purpose. I want to use you. There's nobody special in this book. They're all men. Jesus is the only perfect one who walked this earth. But God uses everyday people like you and I to do great things. And tonight I want to look at the story of Noah. And I want to look at three principles that we can apply to our lives if we want God to use us for His glory. So if you have your Bibles, join me in Genesis chapter 6. And we'll be reading verses 9 through 22 and looking at these principles. And just to fill you guys in on verses 1 through 8 in chapter 6, it was a mess. There was angels who came down. As soon as it says, when mankind began to multiply on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of mankind were beautiful, and they took any and they chose as wives. So there were angels that were coming down to sleep with women. And if you want to rack your brain over the next, until you die, read the first 4 verses in 6 and let me know what you come up with. And then when you read it again, let me know what you come up with then. There's so much that's packed in those 4 verses. But God sees that all of His creation, everything that He made, from the little creeping bugs to all of mankind, is wicked. And so that God casts His judgment on the earth. We pick it up in verse 9, and this is what it says. These are the family records of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. Noah walked with God. And Noah fathered 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with wickedness. God saw how corrupt the earth was, for every creature had corrupted its way on the earth. Then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it with pitch inside and outside. This is how you are to make it. The ark will be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. You are to make a roof, finishing the sides of the ark to within 18 inches of the roof. You are to put a door in the side of the ark. make it with the lower, middle, and upper decks. Verse 17, understand that I am bringing a flood. Flood water is on the earth to destroy every creature under the heaven with the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark with your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives. You are also to bring into the ark two of all the living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of everything, from the birds according to their kinds, from the livestock according to their kinds, from the animals that crawl on the ground according to their kinds, will come to you so that you can keep them alive. Take with you every kind of food that is eaten. Gather it for food. Gather it as food for you and for them. And Noah did this. He did everything that God had commanded him. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening, God, and we pray that as we commit these next few moments to you, God, that your Spirit would just pour out upon us, God, that we would listen to the words that are in this book, God, that we would be able to apply them to our lives, that we would know how to be used by you, God, that we would look at Noah as a great example of how to be used by an almighty God. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We see in verse 9 that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. That means that, and when we compare it to everything else that was going on, God said that he saw that the entirety of his creation was corrupt and bad, and therefore it needed judgment. But Noah was found blameless and righteous in a time of complete depravity and wickedness. Church, is the world not like that today? Is the world not completely wicked? You say, well, how would you say that? Well, if it's not doing what the Bible says, if it's not aligning with what God says and how Jesus says for us to live our lives, that's wicked. It's going against what God had designed, and this is exactly what creation was doing. And for that, it needed a judgment. But Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. And how was that the case? How could that be? It says at the tail end of verse 9, Noah walked with God. The first principle can be found in this verse. You want to be used by God? The first thing we have to do is walk with him. We have to have a relationship with God. If we want to be used by the Almighty God, we first have to have an established relationship with him. That means we have to give our life to Jesus as he gave his for us. If we don't have a true, genuine relationship with Christ, we're not going to want to be used by God. We're not going to care to be used by God. We're going to want to do things our way. And this is exactly what creation was doing, except for Noah. God saw him and he said that he had a relationship with him. He was walking with him. So what does a fervent walk with God look like today for us in the church? Well, it looks like, first off, being here. When we can show up and listen to what God's word says and apply it to our lives, that's a sign of a good relationship with God. When we're praying to God, when we go to him for minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, depending on how long it takes for God to answer our prayers, that's what it looks like to have to walk with God. When we're in his word daily, in reading and seeking, what does he want for me? What does he want for my family? What does he want for my job? What does he want for my career? What does he want for my life? That's walking with God. When we actually care to put off the things that we want and say, God, give me what you have for me, that's what it looks like to walk with God. But it comes from, first and foremost, a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Noah was found blameless and righteous amongst a world who was completely deprived, who was wicked, who didn't care about the God that created them, let alone what he wanted them to do. They did whatever they wanted. And so they were walking away from God. And when we talked about some of the people, David, Moses, Paul, they weren't called into ministry. They weren't called into doing something before they had a relationship with God, did they? Were they? No. I wasn't called to preach the word of God without first having a relationship with God. I wasn't called to plant a church without first having a relationship with God. That's the first criteria. You want to be used by God, you must have a relationship with him. And I would like to tell you, just to clear things up, God doesn't need me to do anything for him. God doesn't need you to do anything for him. He is completely capable of doing everything all by himself. He chooses to use men and women to glorify him. God doesn't call us to do something for him. He calls us into relationship with him. So that when he places a ministry in our lives, we want to do it. We say, wow, this is the God that I serve. I know him. I walk with him. I trust him. And now that he's giving this to me, I want to do it. He doesn't need me to do it. I want to do it because that's the God that I serve. And this is that's the first principle, is that walking with him, having a relationship with him. And I'll tell you guys, sometimes relationships with God, your relationship with God might look weird to the world. I remember when I got saved, I got asked, why are you going to church 3 times a week? Why are you going to church twice on Sunday? Why are you going to church on Wednesday? Why are you doing all these things? I said, well, I love God. I don't have a great answer, but that was the answer, and that's, I love God. And my family and the world were like, that's really weird. But can I tell you, in verse 11, it don't matter what the world says, because verse 11 says, now the earth was corrupt in God's sight. It's about what God views as right and wrong. It's about what God views as good and bad. And so if I have a relationship with him and I'm walking with him, I really couldn't care less about how the world views me. It doesn't make sense to potentially leave my job to start a church. It doesn't make sense for Phil to quit his job and Savannah to quit her job to come here and work for this church. It doesn't make sense. And the world looks at it and they say, that's unbelievable. Why would you do that? That's stupid. But God sees it as great and righteous. Why? And why could you two do that? I'm picking on you two specifically. Why could you do that? Because you had a relationship with Jesus. You wouldn't have done it otherwise. But they said, God, use us. God, I want to be used by you. And that's an amazing thing. In no relationship with God, if we don't have a relationship with God, if we're not willing to walk with Jesus, if we're not willing to walk with God, if we're not willing to do the things necessary to maintain that relationship and have one in general, we have a relationship with the world. And we're not of God. We're not doing things God's way. We're doing things our way. And that creates a separation between you and God. In verses 12 and 13, God saw that his creation was corrupt. And he told Noah that he was going to destroy it. He says, God saw how corrupt the earth was, for every creature had corrupted its way on the earth. Then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I am going to destroy them along with the earth. Do you find it odd? Sin in general. This all came to be because one sin that happened in the garden. God designed, when he saw his creation on the last day, what did he say? This is very good. The sin that were brought on by Adam and Eve led to this. You guys think that one sin can't affect the outcome of a generation or your life? This is proof that one sin, one little sin, can ruin generations. And because Adam and Eve in the garden, they took on and ate the fruit, mankind's paying for it. Sin will take you a lot further than you think it will. The little white lie here and there, being sneaky and facetious, the doing things your way, it has a major impact. There's a potential for it to have a major impact. And not just your life, the lives of your family, the lives of your friend, and who knows, potentially generations to come. And so I find that interesting, that all of this happened because of one sin. One sin. And so God says, therefore, I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. But Noah had a relationship with God, and God gave him a plan. And that plan was to build an ark. And he says in verses 14 through 16, he says, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to make it. The ark will be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. You are to make the roof, finishing the sides of the ark with 18 inches of the roof. You are to put a door in the side of the ark and make it with the lower, middle, and upper decks." You want to be used for God? Principle two, expect to work. If you want to be used for God, expect to work. The first thing is have a relationship with God. The second is expect to work. Noah, God was going to God wiped out the entirety of the world except for Noah. And he said, "Noah, I have a plan for you." And that plan involves a lot of hard work. A lot of hard work. And so he rolled his sleeves up and he started doing this thing. He started building this thing. And he worked for God. Can I just tell you, just kind of bring it a little closer to home? Let's just think about Sunday morning. What all that takes to have a Sunday morning. Firstly, the sanctuary. Somebody has to clean the sanctuary. You guys ever think about these things? Somebody has to clean this up and make it presentable. I don't know who that is. Probably you. No? Kobe? Chris? Somebody has to do it. And it's the prep time throughout the week to make sure this place is ready to go. And then we come in the doors. And the first thing we see is, oh man, who's getting that coffee going? Who's getting that coffee going? That means somebody has to be here early to brew that coffee. And you say, okay, well, now we got donuts. Somebody has to go to the store to get the donuts and make sure that all the snacks are stocked and the fridge is stocked and all those things. And then we go off to Sunday school, our life groups. The teacher in there is preparing at least the night before, hopefully, to make sure that the Sunday morning experience is good, that you guys are getting something out of the study that you guys are going to. That takes time. That takes effort. That takes work. And then we go through that, and then we get ready to have service. And we hear some of the background music playing. Somebody has to be here to learn how to do sound and know how to do sound. You think this just happened tonight? I don't know how many hours that it took to get those songs right, but that takes time. I know how many hours it takes Ashley to learn a new song. Driving in a car, you pop a track in or listen to it. It takes hours before she gets it down. That takes time. And then you have the praise band come up. And all of these things are working. And then the pastor, you know, I don't know whoever's preaching. There's a lot of hours that go into studying the scriptures that they're going to preach to you guys. These things don't just happen. But when God, and not everybody's doing all these things. Let me ask the praise band, did it feel good to be used by God tonight? Did it feel good to be like, wow, I have this talent. God's allowing me to do this. I get to do this for God. Yeah, it feels good because you're being used by God. It's amazing when you can say, wow, I know that this is nothing that I'm doing, but God's using me. He's asking me to do this at this church. What an honor that is to be used by God. What an honor that is to be used by God. I remember Phil saying one time, he said, I don't care what I'm doing. He said, I'll clean the toilet and I'll be happy about cleaning the toilet. As long as God is using me, I don't care what it is. And that's the mindset that we should have. It's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. But man, if God is using me, let's do it. I want to be in it. Paul, if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about all these things that he went through. He said, I got 39 lashes 5 times. I got stoned. I got beat. I'm still doing it. God placed this in my life, and I'm going to do it because I have a relationship with him. And I know the work is going to be hard, but by golly, God's asking me to do it. And so I want to do it. You think planning a church is easy? I don't even know what I'm doing, but it's hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. I have no clue what I'm doing. But I'm excited because God's asking me to do it. Ashley has no clue what we're doing. But we're doing it. And it's hard. And we're trying to figure things out as we go. And we have a lot of people praying for us, but it's difficult. But God's asking us to do it. I'm like, wow. So we're going to do it. We're going to do it. And Noah, can you imagine that conversation? Hey, by the way, I know you've never done this before, But I have this boat, this massive boat. Do you know what a boat is, Noah? No, probably not. Maybe you do. But I need you to build one, not just a little one. This isn't a model boat. This is the big boat to scale. The biggest boat that that at least in this generation has ever seen. Oh, and by the way, I need you to do it to specific standards. I have all of these parameters laid out, and there's no blueprint. You just have to do it. You got to cut down all the trees. You got to sand all the stuff. You got to make sure that the door is right, that the roof is right, that you have enough pitch, which is kind of tar to cover everything. You got to make sure all that. Nobody was bringing this stuff to him. Nobody was saying, hey, Noah, let me help you. They were like, what on earth is he doing? What an idiot. Look at that guy. God, oh, God told you to build a boat. Okay, yeah, sure. Nobody was helping him out, but he didn't care. He said, I'm going to do it because God asked me to do it. I want to serve God. I want to do it. And it took him over about 100 years to build that boat, to build that ark. That's a long time to do something. We lose faith after something doesn't happen. We pray for a week and it doesn't happen. Noah said, hey, God said this is going to happen, so I'm going to do it. It took about 100 years to build this. All that work, all that time, all that effort that went into it. And he's never done it before. Never done it before. He didn't have a scale model to look at and say, okay, yeah, that's what it's going to look like. He just trusted God with it. And God provided. And God allowed him to do it. I wanted to note, just take a sidestep here for a second. Nowhere in that boat did it say, hey, make sure you put sails on it. Hey, make sure you put a nice steering wheel on it so you can take hold of it and go where you want it to go. Nowhere in that description of that boat did it say, throw a rudder on there so you can control it. He didn't ask Noah to control it. He called Noah to do it. He said, I'm in control of it. I'll take care of it. When God calls us to do something, we shouldn't be in control of it, because if we're in control of it, we're going to mess it up. And that's a sermon that's completely different. I could talk about that for a long time. But if God's calling us to do it, let him do it. He's the one that's going to do it. Just be willing to work. Be willing to roll your sleeves up and get dirty. God's going to see you through it. Like I said, I don't know what I'm doing with church planting, but God's going to see us through it. Good things are happening. There's things happening, but don't know what it's going to look like. But I'm excited about it. There ain't a steering wheel on that. There ain't a steering wheel on a church plant. I don't have no sails or a rudder. And it says, hey, okay, God, I showed up. What now? What's next? And we just do it. God is in control of what he uses us for, not us. And then in verse 17 and 18, we see that the work is hard, that the work is tedious, that the work is going to be difficult, but there's a reason for it, and there's blessings because of it. The reason for it is this. This is what God says to Noah. Understand that I am bringing a flood. The reason you're doing this work, specifically, Noah, is because I'm bringing a flood. Flood waters on the earth to destroy every creature under heaven with the breath of life in it. Everything on the earth will perish. He says, Noah, the whole reason I'm asking you to do this is because you were right. You have a relationship with me. Your family is going to be spared because of it. If that wouldn't light a fire under you, that first part, understand that I'm bringing a flood. That's God's judgment. I'm bringing a flood and I'm going to wipe out everything. So Noah, make sure that this boat that I asked you to build, you do it. Noah, make sure that this boat I'm asking you, make sure you do it. And it's not just for you. It's for your family and your children's wives. It's not just for you. When I think about church planting and going to Fort Wayne, this is the same warning. People are dying and going to hell. God ain't destroying the earth with a flood anymore. But when I think about this, and when I think about the message that was preached on Sunday and Jonah going to Nineveh, those people in Nineveh, they were going to die. And God was going to bring his judgment. He was going to wipe them out unless they repented. And me as a preacher, when I see people who are living in sin and doing what they want, I can't help but think, man, there's a flood, it's coming. But the boat is Jesus Christ. The ark is Jesus Christ, and he can save you. And people are dying, and they're writing it off, and they're saying, it doesn't matter, and God's judgment is going to come. And if you die without a Savior, his judgment is going to be there. And so I'm pleading with you tonight that if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the night of your salvation, that you would give your life to Christ. Because the same warning that was here in Genesis chapter 6 is the same warning that is still in front of us today, and that is God is a God of judgment. And if we die without a Savior, this is what we have to look forward to. We're going to be wiped out, annihilated, and hell is our final destination. That's just a little bit of my heart tonight. But he tells Noah that there's a flood that's coming. Be prepared. Be prepared. And the blessing in it. And so the hard work is there's a purpose for it. There's a reason that Ashley and I are leaving. It's to see souls saved in Fort Wayne. It's to see people come to Christ, that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that they might be able to change their lives. That the path that they are walking down won't be the path that they have to continue to walk down. And when they notice and recognize Jesus as Lord and Savior, they say, wow, He saved me. Wow, He can use me now. Wow, I know the work is going to be hard, but I want to do it because of the relationship that I have with Him. And in that hard work, Noah found a blessing in verse 18. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark with your sons and your wife and your sons' wives. He says, after all that hard work, you're going to reap the benefits of it. You're going to be saved. I'm going to take care of you and your family. And yeah, I know those past 100 years were tough. I know it was grueling and it was sun up to sun down and it was just you. But the blessing in it is that you and your family will be saved through it. And when we're doing for God and we have a relationship with Him and we're walking with Him and we're working to glorify Him, we can expect to find blessings in Him. We can expect to find blessings in Him. Noah's family were saved from it. And that's the reason I'm okay with planning a church, just kind of dropping and leaving my old lifestyle, potentially leaving my job, is because I realize that this life is short. That there's people who are dying and going to hell, and I, if there's anything that I can do, and I know that it's not me, but if I can be a catalyst for somebody's salvation, if I can be at the crossroads to meet somebody at a tough time, to lead them to Christ, that's what I want to do. That's all, to be honest with you guys, that's all I want to do. I want to share Jesus with everybody. I swear, people are going to get sick at work. They're going to get sick of me talking about Him. And I don't care. I've seen two salvations there. I got to lead a guy to the Lord a couple of Sundays ago. Never met him before. Never met him before. But I knew that he needed Christ, and he accepted Him. And he accepted Jesus. And that's what I want to do. I want to take that. And there's such a blessing in it. When you get to see somebody's life changed, I might never be, my name's never going to, I hope it never goes up in lights and does all those things. But there's such a blessing in when you see somebody's life changed and you see God take them from who they were and you knew them before Christ and God takes them from who they were and changes them. It's unbelievable, and you get to see them grow in their walk with Christ. You get to see them grow in their relationship with Jesus. It's fantastic. It's fantastic. There's no greater joy that I've ever seen in my life than someone come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Someone saying, "Wow, this is who I was, but this is who God made me, and now God used me." I think about me 12 years ago, almost 13 years ago. Who I was, where I was going, the path I was heading down. And God said, hold on a second, I'm going to step in and we're going to change this up. I say this a lot. I never thought I'd be up here. Never thought I'd be going to Fort Wayne to plant a church. Never thought I'd be potentially thinking about quitting my job. But it ain't about me anymore. And the blessing that I find in doing what God's asked me to do is greater than anything that this world has to offer. Greater than anything that this world has to offer. And Noah understood that, and he did it, and God blessed him. And then in verse 19 through 21, it's more work, more gathering, more getting stuff together, making sure that the clean animals, seven of each of those are there. And God brought the rest of the animals to him. And in verse 22 is where we find our our third principle. And Noah did this. He did everything that God had commanded him. You want God to use you? You want God to keep using you? Be obedient. That's the third principle. So we have our relationship with God. We have our walk with Him. We can expect to work, to do the hard work. And lastly, we need to be obedient. If we want God to use us, we have to, when He asks us to do something, we have to do it. Can you imagine if Noah said, you know what? I'm going to put this off for a few years. God, I will, but not right now. God, I don't think it's as big of a deal as you're making it. God, I know what you're asking me to do, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. And if Noah didn't do that, what do you think the outcome would have been? Anybody? He probably would have been wiped out too. But because of his relationship with God and his willingness to work, God wasn't going to let that happen. And so he allowed Noah to do these things. And there was a lot at stake. I look at my Noah and that boy back there, a little bald-headed boy back there. I look at him and I think that if I wasn't obedient, if Ashley and I weren't obedient to saying yes to planting a church in October of 2023, I know he wouldn't be here. I know he wouldn't be here. I guarantee he wouldn't be here. But because of our relationship with Jesus and our willingness to work and our obedience, we get to see the blessing. And it doesn't end there. We get to watch him grow up. We get to watch him become a little kid. He's going to be 6 months old soon. And grow up and run around and, you know, have his first scraped knee and all these things. And what a blessing it is. And we get to be used by God. We get to watch him grow up and teach him things about God's word. And do all these things that you know, maybe we didn't get as kids. And it's because we were obedient. And I'm excited. I'm excited about it. And I want God to continue to use me. I want God to continue to use me. I want to strengthen my relationship with him. I want to do the hard work necessary to glorify him. And I want to be more obedient to him daily. I like the feeling of being used by God. I'm not always comfortable in the feeling of it, but I sure do like the feeling that he singled me out and said, this is what I want for your life. And you guys might not know it, but I'll tell you, and if it's your first time hearing it, this should excite you, but God has a plan for all of you. Every single one of you. I can promise you, you weren't just put on this earth to pay taxes and die. Contrary to popular belief, God has a plan for you. That plan starts with a relationship with him. That plan starts with trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, walking with him, having a relationship with him. Isn't that amazing that God uses us? It's fantastic that God uses us. And I'm excited to see how he continues to use us. And I know that 2025 is just got here, 2 months in, almost getting to be 3 months in. God's using you in 2025, ain't he? God's going to continue to use you in 2025, ain't he? God's going to continue to use this church in 2025. And I'm excited to see what he does with it. Like I said, the three things that if you want to be used by God, you have to have a relationship with him. You have to be willing to do the work. And you have to be obedient. So church, I have to ask you, where are you at? Have you hit the principle, the first principle yet? You say, okay, I've trusted God, but I don't know about the work. Okay, I'm ready to do the work, and I want to keep doing the work. Or maybe you're, God, I've done everything you've asked me. Praise God for that. But you're somewhere tonight, And I pray that if you haven't trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that tonight would be the night of your salvation, so that God would start using you. Because I'll tell you, this life that I'm living, life I never thought I'd have, but it's a life I wouldn't trade it for nothing, because I'm used by God. So let's stand.